Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. And real quick, I want to give a shout out to Josh, who is the person who donated this wine to me to bring on the show. And Josh is the purveyor at a Grapevine Pizza here in Columbus.
Yes, he is. So tonight is a wine that was requested for us to try. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are requested. One thing I want to talk about real quick. Wilford, it come to me.
Wilford did. Did he know about Red Newt Cellars?
That's right, Scott. This is Wilford. Yeah, I came to Rob the Wine Guy and I said, you know what? I'm tired of Scott writing these dirty jokes that I have to read. And I asked Rob the Wine Guy to write some jokes for me. And so I'm going to read those jokes throughout the show sometimes just to clean up my act. So
you're going
to
clean up your act,
yeah,
Wilford.
Scott. Yeah, yeah. Here's the first joke that they wrote for me. What should you do if you're attacked by a group of clowns, Scott?
I don't know, Wilfred.
Yeah, you go for the juggler. You get it?
The juggler.
The juggler, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's...
You're the juggler. Yeah, the guy's... It's like juggler and jugular, yeah.
Cleaning.
Yeah, then what you do is...
Cleaning up.
Yeah, well, yes, you need to have some lime, but normally you would solve them up in a bag. Damn it, I'm reading the see Scott. Scott wrote an addendum to the joke. It involves dismembering clowns. It's terrible. It's hilarious, though.
Clowns are creepy.
I'm going to read this off the air and kind of, you know, have some alone time with this one. That's nice. But anyway.
But on tonight's show, we have a wine from the Finger Lakes, Red Newt Cellars. And this is their Glacier Vineyard Cabernet Franc. We have done things from the Finger Lakes. I've been to the Finger Lakes, you know. And I've been not too far from where this winery is. It's on Seneca Lake, on the east side of Seneca Lake. It's right down the street from, well, road, from Wagner.
Friends of the show.
Wagner Family Vineyards. Mm-hmm. And about 4 miles south, actually. So, this is one of their better wines. So, they have a single vineyard down more towards the south side of the lake, a little plot. But the Finger Lakes is known for their Riesling naturally, since they share some similarities with, well, Germany in a certain sense. But they also make some good reds. Cab Franc is one thing that does pretty well there. Cabernet doesn't do too bad. I mean, Merlot doesn't do too bad. Pinot, there are some plantings of Pinot. I actually have some Wagner Pinot.
I think there's some Finger Lake Pinots that have some prominence, some gravitas.
There are. Basically, there are some wineries there that are pushing the boundaries a little bit. They're trying to make things that are a little more classical, a little more towards the Olympic style.
Yep. And it's just, in the continental U.S., the grapes that grow elsewhere in the world, or, you know, you compare the growing in California, Cab doesn't do well everywhere. We had a Cab that was pretty decent. Actually, we really liked it, from Long Island, of all places.
Yes, the Brotherhood. But like Ohio, they can't because of the parasitic soils. But Virginia makes very good wines. There's some expensive wines from Virginia. There's expensive wines also from the Finger Lakes. This comes in around $30. Yeah. I think you can buy it on their website, $30 plus shipping. And, you know, tonight we'll tell you whether or not you should do that. I don't know. Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should send hate mail to the place. And by the way, Scott would like to thank all the people that have been sending him dick pics. He appreciates that.
Thanks, Rob.
No, it wasn't me. Somebody else's dick.
So. They were drawings.
Yeah, I know. The drawing of somebody else's dick was mine. I'm not sitting there looking down at my crotch drawing. No. That would be
bad. Man.
That would be perverted.
You're a really bad
It would
bad
be
man.
Perverted if I did that. So, you know, just random pics.
Who's drawing? Who are you drawing of? In your head, who are you thinking of when you draw these penises?
It's friends, you know.
Oh, Lord. What is wrong with you?
Who needs a subject? You just think about it. That's all right, man.
You just draw it.
You don't know what one looks like? I know you do. Well, it's just, you know.
Well, apparently you do, since you draw them regularly while we're on the air.
Well, you know. I haven't drawn one tonight. It's not on my joke page here, so.
I would know about your joke page.
Well, I know. They're really
Wilfred
good.
Knows about it, though, right?
Yeah, they're great jokes. I like them first. I mean, Scott, I got another one for you.
Oh, Lord.
You didn't know that first one. What do you call a religious person who sleepwalks?
I don't know. What do you call a religious person that sleepwalks?
A Roman Catholic. You get it? They're Roman and they're Catholic. Yeah. That's a good one. So, folks.
Oh, my God. We're this is going to be all night?
No. Yeah. So there's like 100 and some of them. Yeah.
Repeatedly?
Different ones, Scott. Yeah.
Any improvement on the quality of the jokes? Like laughter inspiring?
They're clean jokes. I can't. I mean, you know, I might put my own spin on them, but Scott's getting jealous because he didn't write the jokes. No. And so they're clean. And people right now are laughing. They're thinking, oh, that's a clever one. It was.
Clever?
It makes you think, Scott. Yeah. Roman Catholic.
I did look up some clean Christian jokes.
Oh, okay.
And they were all very biblical. So I don't know what the hell any of them meant.
It's like, of course not.
Yes. Clean jokes you could tell in church. It's like, I don't know. Churches I go to, nobody knows what the fuck that is. It's a deep cut of the Bible right there.
A deep cut.
It's Ezekiel 25:17. You know, what the fuck is that?
Because that sounds like a movie rating.
It might be. I don't know. NC-17, yes. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Red Newt Cellars Glacier Vineyard Cabernet Franc. This is the 15 vintage, so it has a bit of, you know, dust in the bottle. But that's okay. Some of these wines can be held for a bit. Do they improve? Maybe. Debatably. But do they turn into vinegar? Oh, I hope to God not. Because we're about to drink it.
Yeah, this is... My friend Josh has held this in his cellar for a long time. He also has a 15 that he's been holding on to.
This is the 15.
Oh, excuse me. It's a 12 that he's been holding on for a long time. So even older. We'll find out.
That's a little bit.
That's a long time.
That's an aged man of war.
Let's see what the 15 is.
Yes. That is dust on the bottle. Yeah. Now, Cabernet Franc in a general sense, what are we expecting? How is that going to be different than the, say, the French version or the Californian version? In a certain word, it shouldn't vary too much in flavor, okay? Scott, why don't you go on Wine Folly and just tell us once again what the cues for a Cabernet Franc are. They tend to be a little bit different, though, from European, like something from the Loire Valley. Those are a little more expansive, richer, bigger. As opposed to things like this, this should be a little bit, take a step back. It should have nice crisp fruit, maybe some cranberry notes, possibly a little bit of a smoky edge to it. But in reality, should it be this big, bursting, vibrant wine? I think that's a little bit of a tall ask for this wine, don't you think?
Unless you're having a really old vine that's off the hook.
Yeah.
Big time grape, you're just not going to have a big bodied Cab Franc.
Yeah.
In general, they're going to be softer in texture, not full bodied. The first thing I think of in Cab Franc is, you know, some type of minerality. And Wine Folly says crushed gravel. She says also chili pepper, but fruit profile, strawberry, raspberry. And normally that's something that we might criticize in other wines, bell pepper.
That's one thing. That's normally where you call it Cabernet Franc as opposed to Franc. But it also should have some floral violet notes to it. That is not all that uncommon in good ones. See, that's when we go from, if you have a sheen, silky mouthfeel, violet notes, things of that nature. Then you have the smokiness, a little bit of the peppery notes, those things. That is a higher level Cab Franc. Will this one do that? Will the 12 do that? No, but the 12 will give you VD. But, you know, possibly.
Easy.
Well, I mean, it'll do something to you.
You've got VD. Wine guy.
Yes.
What other names are noted for Cabernet Franc? There are two.
What other names?
Mm-hmm. What's it also known as?
Oh.
They both start with B's.
B.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for telling me that so I wouldn't sound stupid by saying something else. B, I don't know.
You don't need any hints to not sound stupid.
Okay, go ahead. What,
Breton.
Breton.
And Boucher.
Oh, Boucher. Okay, there we go. Mm-hmm. I did not know either one of those. In the glass, though, this does have a little bit of a cranberry crimson hue to it. Maybe a little more cranberry than crimson. It is somewhat translucent. A slight brickishness to it, but not too bad.
Which, in a wine that's been cellared, that little slight brickishness is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yes, true. On the nose.
Nice little nose.
A little raspberry.
Yeah.
Raspberry cream.
Something's got a little zing there, like a...
It's like menthol mint, but it's a little bit of a muddled violet.
Yeah, like a florally mint thing.
It's a nice nose. It's a very nice nose, actually. If you smelled this, you would think it's somewhere in France is where this
It's a beautiful
from.
Nose.
It's a very lovely nose.
Which, you know, in the Wagner products that we've had, they generally have wonderful noses.
Mm-hmm. Actually, our second wine tonight will be a Wagner product.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
And there's a little bit of a bell pepper way back in the back.
Hmm.
Yep. Let's go in here.
That's nice.
Well, let me start off with this. You shouldn't hold it three or four years. It's something that should be consumed a little closer to this because it's showing a little bit of age. It's soft. It has an interesting mouth feel, but it is dominated by cranberry and acidity on the finish. It has a little bit of front plushness to it, which makes it interesting and nice. And you would know it's Cab Franc from there. I think that it would be better Cab Franc if it were a little closer to the vintage. I wouldn't drink the 2012, mind you, because I think you're going to have mostly, it's going to be sun-dried tomato and bell pepper that's going to be left over on that wine. But this wine still has some nice qualities to it. And I think that
a nice graphite minerality. I don't know that I get the crushed gravel, but it's like a little touch of graphite.
It has a saline, borderline metallic edge from the acidity that's left over. It's not all that surprising, given where it's from. But it also, that's where the minerality is. So it's somewhere in between being a minerality edge and being almost metallic. It doesn't quite go metallic, but it almost does.
For me, it's just, I get graphite.
No, that's there.
And it's that finish, which is okay. That's not a problem necessarily. The cranberry, I think it's just an expression of the acidity, maybe, a little bit.
What's left in heavy doses is the acidity. I'm not going to say that it's out of balance or unpleasant because
it's
of not. But it isn't what it was when it was younger. So, I mean, that's kind of the key. I think you had a little more plushness and it was a little more round to offset that. And it was so when he bought it, when he drank it originally, it was a really good wine. It really was. Now it's a pretty good wine. But then I think it was a really good wine.
I don't think it's spent, it's just probably a little bit past its prime.
That's that. No, I would agree with that. It's offering different elements now, but it is a little bit probably past its window, but it still drinks well, and it really still does. Has some nice qualities to it. If they had like a library selection there and they pulled one of these out, I think that, especially if they lined it up against like an 18, which is their current vintage, I think that would be an interesting drinking experience. You're seeing how something kind of evolves. You wouldn't drink the 12. The 12 is not, there's not going to be anything left on that. I think we can both agree with that. Another 3 years.
I don't know.
I know.
There's still, the tannins aren't completely passed here. And without having this product as a baseline when it's released, you don't know how big the tannic structure was to give it a comparison point here. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, maybe this wasn't the biggest tannic wine.
No.
And then it still has some tannic structure to it, so it's not spent. But the what I think for me that leads that's maybe a little bit past optimum is the way the fruit expresses. I like the cranberry. It's nice, but I wonder if there was more to it before now.
Like a raspberry kind of. I mean, raspberry now is cranberry a little bit more.
Or is it strawberry that went to the cranberry? Whatever it was, I doubt that it was this cranberry. It's really nice, though. I like that.
It's 8 years old, and these wines aren't 20-year wines, so that's fair enough. This wine is not an 8-year wine; shouldn't be drank like that. I mean, if you have an 18, you should drink that now too, because that's still 5 years old. I mean, current vintage on 18, that's a lot, because it's not like they're doing 20 months on French oak or something like that.
That's their current vintage is the 18.
Yeah, that's what they're selling on their website.
Huh.
Well, I don't think that, I mean, because they have 21s probably from other places, but it's just the Glacier Vineyard. That's the key. I mean, they have other wines. Yeah.
I wonder if they don't produce this every year.
No, they don't. They don't. I don't think that there's, it's a kind of a mismatch kind of vineyard. And so
they're just blending what they make out of the Glacier into their other Cab Franc product.
Probably, yeah. And so only occasionally do they feel that it's up to having something to bottle by itself.
Or it's just they don't get the yield they want.
Could be that, too.
It's probably
combination of both.
That's probably the prior, though.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But I think the 18 would still be a nice drink. If I was out there... I don't know what the shipping is, folks, but if you wanted to give this a whirl on their website, you can. Most states they'll ship to, Ohio included, $28 plus. I don't know what they got charge shipping. Maybe you get a deal for a few different bottles. Buy some of their things and try them.
They do the Pinot from the same vineyard, the Glacier Ridge Vineyard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In quaffing, this wine is a lot better quaffing. It's actually quite a nice drink quaffing. If you had a couple bottles lying around, just sitting back and just lightly drinking it with your friends is a nice thing to do. The drink's nice and soft. Maybe somewhat basic, but in a good way. Sometimes basic is a good way.
I think sometimes we expect too much of the non-premium areas out of wines. And Cab Franc isn't this extremely complex varietal, even at its best. So the fact that it's simple and straightforward, I'm fine with that.
I mean,
they've still got this 15 in stock.
They do have the 15 in stock?
They still got the 15 in stock.
Ooh, boy.
I wonder if some of their releases just get sold out.
I don't know.
And that this is what's left when you... at the end of day.
They sell, you'll find that they
actually do have the 19 in stock.
Oh, they have 19. Okay.
19, 18, 17, and the 2015.
I think that you'll find that, they have the 19 for 30. Okay. I think you'll find that they sell a lot through their winery. A lot of these wineries, they do. They have a Syrah. Did you see that? A 19 Syrah. I wonder what that tastes like. That'd be interesting.
What's this?
And they also have a Bordeaux blend. Well, 68% Merlot, 27% Cabernet, 5% Cab Franc. They call it Verdi and Verdicens?
V-I-R-I-D-E-S-C-E-N-S.
We actually...
Verdicens? I don't know. Scott, we'd have to ask them.
Scott and I have the Claret from Wagner, a few bottles of it. It was expensive, though, wasn't it? It was like 30-some bucks. Wasn't it?
Or was there...
This is 40.
Or was there Cab Franc that much?
No, the Cab Franc was under 20. Yeah. So, and I have a single vineyard Riesling from them as well. Wagner. I think a lot of this stuff... Ooh, I think they have a 2019 Tango Oaks Ice Vine, and they want $95 for it.
Well,
that's too much. It's too much. It's
probably just what they put into it.
Wagner's is like $21.
Is it really now?
Now, this does get, oh my gosh, look at this. You got 92 from the Advocate, 94 from the Enthusiast, 96 from Suckling. So maybe it's pretty fucking good.
It's $95.
A half bottle.
For an ice wine.
For a half bottle.
But that's what you typically see them in.
Yes.
But you typically see an ice wine.
Ice vine. Yeah, ice vine you would, but not ice wine from there. It's too much, but still really good score. So it's
really good scores from not just one Yahoo, James Suckling, who tends to overscore.
Yep. Yeah. I wonder if they... Oh, I think that they did... Okay. You know what they did?
What did they do?
They did it the proper ice vine method. They waited till they were frozen on the vine.
Yeah.
So Wagner freezes their grapes, but they actually waited till they were frozen on the vine. So that process.
That's the reason it's more expensive. Folks, but there's probably a reason that it's getting high scores because of that, too.
Mm-hmm. By the way, they make a Grüner Veltliner, Scott.
Hello.
Actually, they have a nice portfolio when you go through this. A Gewürztraminer, which would be probably decent. Don't get the Hellbender. That looks terrible. The Blue New White looks terrible.
Oh.
But they have a Cab Franc. Looks okay. And the Grüner Veltliner. They do the Rieslings. I mean, folks, the Syrah, I would definitely try the Syrah. I definitely would definitely try their Ice Vine. I would try their Single Vineyard Rieslings, Pinot Gris.
I'd give this Cab Franc a shot.
Yeah, I definitely would try all those things, partly because I think you're going to have some good wines in there. Yeah. Interesting.
They have a port, buddy.
They have what?
They have a port.
They had a port at one time. They don't currently make it.
They still do the Hellbender.
Oh, is that what that is?
The Hellbender.
Hellbender's pretty fucking cheap.
Yeah. It's a blend of Noiret, N-O-I-R-E-T. Never heard of that. Cabernet Sauvignon, Cab Franc, and Merlot. Just fortified, bring it up to 19%.
It's 20%, yeah. Oh my gosh! I don't know, man.
They've got a couple fortified wine products.
They don't call it port though. So,
and when they say Hellbender, they say, and it does say port style, doesn't it?
That's pretty cheap. Well, Scott, I've got another joke.
Oh Lord!
What is red and smells like blue paint?
Inside of your sweatpants?
Red paint.
What?
Yeah.
You really?
Did you get that?
No.
Because it's paint, Scott. Paint. Blue paint doesn't... I sniff paint, so I know this.
You've been sniffing something.
That's right, yeah. That was a good joke, Scott.
No.
You're not smart enough to understand that.
That's correct. Nobody's smart enough to understand that. Thank God nobody's smart enough to
You want a picture of a dick? He can draw one of those, too.
I think that'd be preferable with these stupid fucking jokes. Are you serious?
That's a good joke. I like that joke. I didn't write that one, though.
I'll be honest. I like this wine. It's very drinkable.
I know. You like to pretend to like things. No, it's...
It's very drinkable.
It's a likable wine. It's just... Honestly, it's what a lot of the Cab Franc out of Finger Lakes is. Very likable. Maybe unassuming, not overly complex, but really a drinkable wine when it's drank at the correct temperature. This Cab Franc at the winery in 75-degree weather would not be very good. it has to be at the correct temperature, low 60s. Mm. Because the acidity gets too nasty.
Too much.
Yeah.
Bite your nails.
Little green pepper showing there. That's all right.
No, but that's what it's supposed to, remember.
Yeah, I know.
It's supposed to. True to varietal.
Yeah, just, especially just in the area.
Just a little bit past, maybe.
A little bit past. That's not the wine's fault.
It's just, you know, this is what it is. And that's also when you're going to cellar wines, it's the balance of when's the time? When is the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's one of those things where if you are cellaring wines, you know, it might be smart to get more than one. That way, if you do have one that's too early, you know, to hold it back a couple more years.
Well, you could do that.
When you get it optimal.
That's true. That's true. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So we were going to do a whole segment where Scott was going to read religious jokes and Wilford would come up with the punchlines, but Scott read the jokes and they're so bad that Wilford just became anti-Semitic, and so we had to just stop it all.
Yeah, it's inappropriate.
It was just, no, no. No, Wilford, the punchline isn't, it's always the Jews. I'm just letting you know that that's not acceptable on the Wine Vault. So, what the hell? Why does he go to that? And by the way, you wrote that. What the hell?
I thought we decided you wrote his jokes this week.
No, you wrote that. It's like, what? Scott has like some sort of a vendetta.
So instead, we're going to talk about
the
Finger Lakes.
Oh, yeah. We are.
Rob took his family on a 3-hour cruise. No, that's...
No. We went on a different thing. That's drive. Cruise.
Drove across the eastern United States and... Mm-hmm. Came back home through the Finger Lakes.
We did.
What was your favorite thing about the Finger Lakes from an aesthetic point of view? Was it the lakes where the wineries were on the lakes? What was your favorite thing from an aesthetic point of view of the Finger Lakes?
Well, aesthetically, I mean, I was in Seneca Lake, and the lakes are very nice. It's interesting. Definitely. It doesn't necessarily come across to me as wine country because I've been to wine country. It's not that, but that's okay. Wagner, for instance. Wagner has a brewery, and I think they have a distillery, and they have the winery. And you can do flights and things of that nature, and they have a shop where you can buy a wine. And it was nice, but it had a little bit of a, you know... brew house next to the lake kind of thing. I don't know, like a Buckeye Lake kind of feel. That's a very local thing to say because you wouldn't know what Buckeye Lake is. But if any of you live near a lake, really, that's where they have towns and it's kind of vacation-y, but it's really near your house, so it's not all that exciting to you. But for some people, get very excited for them. And so you're like, well, I'm glad you're happy, but, you know, I know better. That kind of thing where you know... it's not as cool as they think it is, but you kind of let them feel the way they feel. But in reality, you have an air superiority. That's kind of, yeah. Anyway, it had a little bit of that look to it, kind of. Papa Booze, Scott. But it was bigger than that. But it was interesting. The wines were too warm, mind you. Mm. They were too young, too warm, too everything. I mean, it was a dead of summer, so how are they going to keep them cold? And I did like their Reserve Pinot Noir. I did a whole flight. The Cab Franc, their Cab, their Merlot, maybe a white or two. And I bought the Reserve Pinot Noir simply because I thought in the wine vault for a year or so, and then because they were all just too acidic because they were too warm. So I haven't touched any of them. I just opened a Cabernet for us to drink later tonight on the second episode or first, whichever
goes
first.
That's been 2 summers ago, yeah?
No, it was last summer.
It was last summer, okay.
And so over the next several months, we'll dive into the other ones. We have the Meritage. Scott and I both, because Scott had an order and I bought some for him.
And I think the other one I have is the Cab Franc.
You have Cab Franc. You might, I think you got some other things too. You got like 4 or 5 bottles, didn't you?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it's just a couple.
Mm. The Meritage was like 30, I think.
Sounds right.
It'll be interesting to try. But in reality, there's a lot of different things to go down through there. They don't have winery tours, at least they don't at Wagner.
Really?
No, they
don't.
That's
a little surprising.
Well, maybe you can arrange for that. And I think we could have because I had a contact, but they had reached out to us very graciously and invited us up. And then something called COVID happened.
Yeah, there was that.
And that just threw that off. And so we never really even reconnected after that. And that's been a couple of years now. So I suppose through that contact, we certainly could have done a more thorough tour. And I'm sure there are wineries where you can do that. Maybe Red Nude's one of those. And if you were there, and I was just there on an afternoon real quick. Becky and the kids were at a park, so it wasn't really the same thing. But I think if you wanted to go do a deep dive and really get a feel for wineries, I think that that is available to you in that region. And the nice thing is, especially in the East Coast, the eastern half, that is an accessible area. I've done wine tours in Virginia as well. Those are really nice. I've done them in North Carolina. We'll just move on from that. No, there was one I went to in North Carolina that was actually very nice, but another one and several other ones that were garbage. But Virginia's nice too. There are a lot of wineries, though, in the Finger Lakes that are right there together. And that's very similar to California and whatnot. So you get that somewhat kind of experience of winery, 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 winery. You're in a wine-growing region. And that's a unique thing. You don't necessarily, you can't find that other places. Even in Virginia, you got to drive a little bit to find the next winery.
Yeah. There's geographically, they're spread out.
A little bit more, yeah.
And I don't think it's a concentration of them in general.
No.
Where the Finger Lakes, probably on the east side, a couple dozen.
Oh, way more than that, Scott.
Way more than
that. Oh, yeah, look at the map. Maybe 30.
Okay.
And they're all right there. Yes, they do variants of one another, but then you can go and drink and kind of back one to the other, see what each one's there. And so they also have distribution. I mean, this wine was at one point available on wine.com. Wagner has been available, and I think it probably in certain wherever states you are, you can buy it there. In whatever state you're in, you might be able to buy this currently.
And what a portfolio.
Oh, it's got an interesting portfolio.
A couple dozen different offerings.
And most of them have an interesting portfolio. Things you go, oh, I'll give that a whirl. That's the nice thing about it. It's accessible. There is a lodging issue because there's not a lot of places to stay.
Okay.
And, you know, the closest place really city-wise is Rochester. And I think we've already made fun of Rochester staying there.
Listen, Rochester.
I vacation in Rochester. I'd just like to point that out, Scott.
What you do in the Red Roof Inn's not technically a vacation, Wilfred.
Hey, Scott, how did the hipster burn his mouth?
How did the hipster burn his mouth, Wilfred?
I put hot sauce on my peanut. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord.
He ate pizza before it was cool. Wouldn't have been funnier the way I wrote it, though. That's right.
Before it was cool.
That's right. You know who wasn't cool?
You?
The person that wrote that joke. No. Yes, but
that wine guy's definitely not cool.
Well, no, he didn't write that. He plagiarized it off the internets. He didn't write that joke.
He didn't?
No. No, no, no. He edits your jokes to make him cleaner. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's right. I think we know what Rob the Wine Guy's jokes are, so we just leave it at that.
I think we need to do a Finger Lakes road trip.
That's a long road trip, but yeah,
okay. But why not?
There are worse things to do with one's time. And you like from where we are in Central Ohio, if you could get there in a day, right?
Yeah.
And then spend 3 days and then drive back.
Yeah, I think
that would be perfect.
Solid 8 hours from us.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You can go up through Buffalo. I mean, you could even hang out in Niagara. But the main thing, though, is where do you stay? And there's not a lot of hotels. Not a lot of bed and breakfasts. There's not a lot of Airbnbs. There's not a lot of any of that stuff. Mm. So, you know, it would be nice if there was something like that. You know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Hey, finger legs. Get your shit together. But whatever.
How far from Lake Placid was the Seneca Lake, the east side, all the wineries there? A couple hours?
I don't know. I never went to Lake Placid.
There should be hotels at Lake Placid. That's a very...
There was a movie about an alligator that was in Lake Placid. I didn't know that, but that's about all I got for you.
There's that thing.
Bill Pullman was in that.
The Olympics, and it's part of the U.S. Olympic training center.
Bridget Fonda was in that. Yeah, you ever seen like TMZ will go out and take pictures of her now, and she's an older lady, and she's doesn't give a fuck, and so she looks like a normal, you know, Midwesterner that, you know, wasn't famous, and her dad wasn't, you know, Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, look how she's welded away. It's like, well, maybe, but she doesn't have to work, and she said, fuck it, you know. Some of us say, fuck it.
Bridget's one of them.
No, Bridget said, fuck it. She said, fuck it hard. She's like, fuck it. And I'm like, okay.
You're saying she's let it go a little bit?
I don't think she gave a shit. So, you know, she said, fuck it. That's cool.
You're so critical.
No, I'm not. I don't give a shit. They're all hounding her. It's like, she's not famous anymore. Leave her alone. Don't take pictures of her. She's not famous anymore. My kids don't know who Bridget Fonda is. Were they going to watch any of her movies?
No. There's a couple good ones.
Which ones?
The Win the Lottery. She's the waitress. Nicolas Cage is the cop.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, because often you get her mistaken for like Julie Warner, because she was in like Doc Holliday or whatever it was. With Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that because she was naked. She came out of the lake naked or topless or whatever. Because a lot of people do that. They swim naked.
In Doc Holliday?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a brief nude scene with her.
I don't remember that.
Well, you know, it's one of the main things about that movie. But you're like, yeah, I just swim naked. Yeah, just in a random lake. And I also go under water in some random lake where it's all, there's runoff and shit like that, you know.
Well, skinny dipping was popular once.
People's septic tanks feed into this lake, but I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna be completely naked. Don't worry about me. I'm swimming like I'm a scuba diver under this lake. Oh, you didn't know I was here? Yes, you were standing by the lake for 5 minutes, and then I just pop out and I'm naked. I can hold my breath a really long time under this brown water lake, but I'm naked. But don't worry about it. Get out and I smell like catfish. You know, it's like, you know, oh my God, I hit my head on a tire in the lake, you know, it's, you know,
get the swimmer's itch.
People, you don't, that was a pond anyway. People don't like go underwater in ponds. It's fucking gross, man. They don't, you know.
Some people do.
You were like in like Buckeye Lake. I know you don't know what that is, but Buckeye Lake is a lake. And we wore old tennis shoes nobody swims in it anymore because it's like toxic, but it was toxic then. We didn't know.
It's much cleaner since they dredged it.
Yeah, right. And everybody used to like run their, all like the dishwashers and washers and all that stuff would like feed in the lake. And so you'd see like soap water, dishwater and whatnot go down the lake. You just wait till it passes, but you'd always wear shoes because there's like broken glass and tires and, you know, cans and who the hell fucking knows in the bottom of that damn lake.
Body.
Could be. And so, you know, but no, but Julie Warner's character is butt naked underneath there. It's just swimming around, holding their breath. It's like, what are you doing? I'm looking for coins. It's like, what are you doing? Oh, why are you naked?
It's in the script.
Jesus Christ. Michael J. Fox stands there in a shirt that's too big because he doesn't have a physique. Oh. Naked girl pops out of the... Why? How's that happen? I'm 45 years old. That's never happened to me.
There's a reason.
Maybe I don't stand next to enough ponds. I don't know. You know. It's like you stand next to a pond, a water moccasin slithers out of it. Maybe. A duck floats across it. Maybe. You know. Goose honks at you. Maybe.
But you've never had a naked girl pop out of the pond.
No. No, it's never happened. No.
Well...
No, it must be the wrong Ponds. I don't know.
I think Wilford has.
Yes, I have, Scott.
But it wasn't really a live person.
Well, no, I no, they floated back up. What you have to do is take cinder blocks and load them. See, what you do is, Scott, they're dead, right? Naturally. But
they're naturally dead? You didn't make them dead.
My lawyer says yes or no, whatever. Anyway, but they don't have feet. So what?
You and your lawyer aren't on the same page.
No, he's not a good lawyer. Anyway, so you wrap them in plastic, and then you wrap a chain around them.
Okay.
But then you attach some sort of heavy item, say like a cinder block, and you sink them. You know, the problem is most lakes or ponds, there's like a 3-foot deep pond is what I found, and it doesn't work too well. It
didn't work for you?
No, the water wasn't brown enough. They're like, what's that in the bottom of the pond, Wilford? So that's why I got in the pond naked and was swimming around, and I popped out.
That's why you got in the lake naked.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Lord.
Swimming around, and I popped out. And I went, surprise! And they said, it's not a birthday. I went,
sure, we're missing the clean jokes, Wilfred.
That's
no,
right.
We're not.
I've got another one.
No, please, no, sir.
Yes, that always disturbed me, though. Yes. I know Steve Gibson has mentioned that, too. Superstar. You know. Yes.
Shallow ponds?
No, the I'm swimming in a pond naked, and then I pop out. I've been in this pond for like, 5 minutes, and
He's mentioned. Wait, let me try.
Steve wonders about these things.
Let me make sure I capture this. Steve wonders about you.
No.
Swimming naked in a pond and popping up.
No.
What were you talking about?
No, that's seen in the movie Doc Holliday or Hollywood.
He worries about that.
Well, he thought about that. Yeah. It's an issue. You can ask Steve. He'll tell you.
I think you'll tell us that he thinks about that.
Wait, no, he does. The things like that bother Steve. Like Tom Cruise after the volleyball game in Top Gun. He had sand all over his body. He had no shirt on, yet he didn't care. He just put his shirt on his sandy body.
Over the sandy.
Yeah, he hates that. It really bothers him. It does. It really is an issue.
It bothers you. You keep bringing that story up.
It does bother me, too. I couldn't imagine having a sandy body and then having putting a shirt on it. And no.
Who cares?
It's itchy. He was just playing with the boys, but still, it was itchy.
You're leaving after the volleyball game. You don't get sand in your car, so you put your shirt on. So
well, he was wearing a motorcycle.
Keeps the
he was wearing,
sand
riding a motorcycle.
Out of your
car. He was riding a motorcycle. He didn't have a car.
He was worried about getting road rash.
But I don't think so. He wasn't wearing a helmet. He just put his leather jacket on over his t-shirt.
If you hit the road
highway to
you
the
don't have a helmet on, I think you're worried about more than road rash.
He has sunglasses on, though. Highway to the danger zone.
Yeah.
But he always had his helmet on the back of his motorcycle. He just stuck it on the back.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, somebody needs it. I don't need it. I'm surprised he could reach down to the ground.
Flying a crotch rocket at 100 miles an hour, but the helmet doesn't fly off the back of the bike.
Tom, we're having a hard time finding a bike that you can get your feet to touch the ground on. Don't they have a kid crotch rocket? Honestly, Tom, no, they don't. Deflate the tires.
It is a kid crotch rocket.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Cruz, we've deflated the tires almost all the way. Put smaller tires on it. I've got to ride the motorcycle. He does ride motorcycles in real life. Nobody told him they were 3/8 scale.
Training wheels.
What does it say, little tykes? That's Honda's new car. Why do I have to change the battery all the time? I thought this was gas-powered. Oh, no, Tom. No, this is a big, wide front and rear wheel. Yeah, that's right, Tom. It's a new thing. Okay. Why is it made of plastic? Just scoot your feet on it. You'll get going fast. But I can't retouch.
Don't touch the ground.
Well, we were talking about Finger Lakes. Scott derailed us, but
I derailed.
It is an interesting place to go, simply because it's on the eastern part of the United States. It's a winery centric area. I mean, it's a wine region. Not too often do you find that. See how I can just switch back. And the German varietals are interesting, and then the cabs are something to try, or the reds are something to try.
I've enjoyed the reds we've had from the Finger Lakes and from the New York
this is,
region.
This is an enjoyable thing to drink right here.
And I think it does have merit. It's, this one's absolutely a little bit past, but not much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the 19.
By the 19. By the 18. By it all.
By everything they've got. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Bullet. We're back, folks. So, off the air, the Triple B was here, and then Wilford started reading jokes that Scott wrote, and that ran her out of the room by design. But still, that's right, Scott. Scott, I have a couple more jokes that Scott wrote. Scott wrote these, and Scott, here's a question. What comes after 69?
70?
Mouthwash. Yes. Scott, here's a question. It's a riddle, if you were.
A riddle?
Yes.
If I were?
Yes.
What if I weren't?
If your Uncle Jack was on his roof and he wanted you to help him down, would you help your Uncle Jack off?
That's fucking stupid. That's like...
Scott, how do you make your girlfriend scream during sex?
I don't know.
Call and tell her about it.
Ooh.
What do a nearsighted gynecologist and a puppy have in common, Scott?
I don't know.
A wet nose.
Oh, Lord.
Why isn't there a pregnant Barbie doll, Scott?
Because Ken's a eunuch?
No, Ken came in another box.
Back to the wine.
Yes, that's right. Scott, what's the difference between an oral and rectal thermometer?
The cleaning procedures?
The taste. Yes.
Oh, that's a Wilford. Wilford wrong, folks.
There we go.
Good Lord. That was painful.
There's a lot of those jokes there, dude.
That's way too many.
It's all about delivery, isn't it? Yes.
Not in this case.
Boy, Becky's like, are you reading these things so I leave the room? Yes. Yes, I am. There were some dirty fucking things. It was online. It was, I don't know, 79 dirty jokes. It should be 69, but whatever.
But they didn't say it was 79 funny dirty jokes.
Some of them were good.
I think I'd rather read constipation commercial literature.
No, a couple of them were bad. But then there was one, the dildo joke. What is a dildo? What was that? I got to read that one. That's right. You do. It's a good joke. I'm going to find it here. I got to. Yeah. No, I can't find it. Scott, yeah. Oh, no, this one was good. Why do viruses love a Tupperware party? They're always looking for a tight seal. Because you get it, don't you?
No.
No, no.
Not funny.
That was good.
Not funny. Not funny.
I like that one.
Not funny. Oh.
What do tofu and dildos have in common? They're both meat substitutes. That's a good one. I know, they're not.
It's ridiculous.
Tofu's disgusting. Dildos, fine.
Tofu's fine.
The Newton Reds. The Newton Cellars.
Red Newt Cellars.
There we go. Newton would even be better, but it's the Red Newt Cellars.
Red Newt Cellars is a good name.
Yeah, that's true. There are no newts, though.
No, I think newts are indigenous to the region.
Are they?
I think so.
Mm. This is their Cabernet Franc. It's their Glacier Ridge Vineyard.
Glacier Ridge Vineyard.
So, Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine?
So we can only score it where it's at today, and we can't anticipate what it would have been if, let's say, we had this a year ago.
But two years ago.
I enjoy it. I'm going to give it an 87. I do think it probably had more gravitas, you know, maybe a year ago, a couple years back, whatever. Makes me want to drink it again, that's for sure. It is just, at this point, this bottle is just slightly past its prime. Still very drinkable. Easy to drink. I would love to try more of their products.
Absolutely.
You do know this is a well-made wine. It was nothing objectionable. True to the varietal, even though it's, you know, the fruit, we're not really sure what it was a couple years ago. I actually really like the way that expression of cranberry went with the acidity and went with that little subtle I called it graphite. I forget what you called it. You called it something different, something offensive sounding, but that's you. You do that. I don't know.
I don't know what you mean. I'm going to give this wine 86 of my points. I think that it, as a quaffer, it's a very nice drink. It's certainly worth buying. The wine itself is good enough that you say, I'm interested in what else they do. Mm-hmm. And that's as much as you can ask for a wine that might be a little bit past its prime. It's a nice drink. It's a nice quaffer. It is Cabernet Franc. And, you know, the Olympic score is, does it taste like the varietal? Yes, it does. And it tastes like the varietal from which the region it came.
Yeah.
And so, then it adds a little bit. That bump up, that extra point, because we start off at an 85, right? The extra point is the nose. The nose is great. The nose is wonderful. And the rest of the wine is completely drinkable. Completely quaffable, drinkable. Nothing wrong with that, given its age and everything else. So, 86 is the score. I recommend checking out Red Newt Cellars and their products to see what else they have. And so, I like it.
I know, should I, we, my family, make a trip to the Finger Lakes, I would sort
this would be a place you'd stop, yeah.
Well, I mean, the portfolio's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Syrah from the Finger Lakes? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it'd be disappointing, but...
It's to drink it.
Why not try it?
Oh, drink it.
Because you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I would try that. I would try everything you have on their whole portfolio. I can't say that about everything else, because some of those places have wine slushies, and you don't want to drink that. But,
no.
You know, whatever. That being said, Red Newt Cellars, tip of the cap, good wine.
Yeah.
Finger Lakes, tip of the cap, good wine.
Thanks to Josh for offering up to the show.
Mm-hmm. And tip of the cap to Josh. And tip of the cap to Wilford.
No. Not tip of the cap to those awful fucking jokes you read.
What about the tip? Just the tip? Okay.
Not even the tip.
No. And you know what? Tip of the cap to Julie Warner. I don't know why.
Well, because you were talking about her walking naked out of a...
Yeah. She had to hold her breath under that for quite some time. There's no editing magic there. She's a professional. Yeah. It's like, I smell like catfish and urine. Yes, you do, Julie. But Michael J. Fox is supposed to be attracted to me right now, right? Does he know who I am? No, he doesn't. He's not going to find me. No. But I smell like piss. Yes. It's like, this lady just came out of she likes to swim in ponds. Okay. Is she like collecting golf balls? No. She's in the pond. Yes. Naked. Yes. Let's roll with it. I mean, you know, he was in a lot of good movies. And it's like.
Who was?
Michael J. Fox.
No.
Not really. He was in Back to the Future.
Okay.
But not two or three.
Would you call
it Team Wolf
a very good movie? No.
Back to the Future is a good movie. The other two were not. But, you know, Back to the Future is a classic movie. We're going to get into this now. Next, you're going to say Julie Roberts isn't good. So for that.
Can't stand her.
I know you can't. Because you're just a bad person. But that's okay. She's a delight. A national treasure.
This movie's in the spy movie where she got killed.
I'm a national treasure too. Yes, you are, Wilford. Good job tonight. Nevertheless, folks, we are going to bid you adieu. And for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Licensed Taxi Driver, we will see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.